Good morning, church. I started to send you pictures where I was last Sunday, and I thought it'd be a distraction, so I didn't do that. But I did have a wonderful week of rest, and thank you for your thoughts and your prayers. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 17? Luke chapter 17, and we are going to finish a series that we began some time ago and move into a need that unforgiveness brings. Luke chapter 17, and we'll be reading from beginning with verse 3. The title of the sermon this morning is Forgiveness and a Sycamore Tree. Have you ever had a sermon about forgiveness and a sycamore tree? You will this morning. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 3. And keep your Bible open this morning because we're going to be coming back to this verse again and again. Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespassed against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent. What does God's word say you should do? Thou shalt forgive him." And the apostles said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree," and that's not a misspelling. You would expect it to say what? But it says sycamine. There is a very important lesson there. "You might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Friends, God's word is full of understanding if we'll seek it. Would you ask for that from the Lord now? Join me in prayer once again. Father, we look to your word that it would just come alive in our hearts. And we know that depends on your Holy Spirit and for our dependence on you. So this morning, Lord, we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your truth. Reveal to us that we might indeed draw closer to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? Now, it seems very obvious this morning as we look at God's word here that Jesus was teaching the disciples about unforgiveness, right? Now, we've been talking about forgiveness and the need to forgive for several weeks. Today, we close that out and we close out with this one thought. He's talking about forgiving and not being unforgiving. But what's not so obvious is that he's teaching the disciples a lesson here about bitterness, about forgiving and being willing to forgive, but stop being bitter about it. Now, how do we know that? Because of the words he used. He shared with them, don't be bitter. And as a matter of fact, he shared with them a couple of ways that they could remove the evil force of bitterness from their life. Anybody need that? Okay, let me stop. Anybody not need that? All of us need that. We all need to be ready to remove the bitterness from our life. And Jesus spoke about that to the disciples. Let's start with the obvious this morning. So if you would, look at verse 3 and 4. The scripture says there that he said, if your brother repents, you need to forgive him. So let's start right there. He said, if your brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. Now, what does that word rebuke mean? We're going to talk about that. It means that you need to set them straight. Now, remember, people, when we set people straight, it needs to be in love, amen? I said, when we set people straight, it needs to be in love, amen? After all, that's how we would rather be rebuked. We'd rather not be rebuked at all. And yet, if we're going to be rebuked, we want it to be in love. So let's just remember the golden rule. That comes right out of God's word, that we are to do unto others would have them to do unto us. And we need to rebuke. In other words, He said, if your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. In other words, dear friends, first and foremost, we are always to be ready to forgive. We've talked about that. I'm not going to rehash that over the last several weeks. We've heard this. We've talked about it at length. And yet, here it is again. But he does say that you're to forgive if they repent. But he does not say that the offender should not be rebuked. In other words, part of our forgiveness, part of dealing with people, is to make sure that they are admonished so that they know their sin. And that's what he's saying. Jesus said they should be rebuked. Jesus says they should be held accountable. If somebody is not held accountable for their sin, folks, they become incorrigible. Amen? You just want to see a child that goes haywire? Never correct them. Never correct them. And you'll see a child that runs wild. If they're never held accountable, they become incorrigible. He should indeed be corrected, God's word says, and made to appreciate their fault. And then the scripture says right there, when he sincerely repents, when she sincerely repents, they should be forgiven and restored, even if they repeat the sin again and again. Now understand this, that there should be repentance before they're restored. But even if they offend a number of times, we forgive. And Jesus raises the standard, just like he did before. In verse 4, he tells, he says, and if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee and says, I repent, you shall what? Forgive them. Even to 7 times in a day. Now, you've heard a similar passage. We preached on Matthew chapter 18 not too long ago, where Jesus told Peter what? He says, shall I forgive somebody up to 7 times? And he didn't say in a day. He said, but up to 7 times. And Jesus says, I say that you shall forgive how many times? Do you remember? 70 times 7. In other words, the perfect number times the number of completion times the perfect number. In other words, you always forgive. Now, we studied forgiveness again, and I'm not going to go back over that, but we know that God has certainly, without doubt, given us instruction to forgive. Amen? We are to forgive. And forgiving, even once, can be a challenge for some of us. Amen? It really can. Forgiving one time a day, forgiving once is hard enough, but forgiving once a day can be even tough. But 7 times in one day, that sounds almost impossible for most people I know. 7 times in a day, we're to forgive somebody if they truly repent. It must have sounded absolutely preposterous to the disciples. How do we know this? Because Jesus says, I say that even up to 7 times a day, you should forgive someone. And what did the disciples say? Now listen, it sounds very spiritual for us to say it like we say it. And that they probably said it this way. You know, they probably, you think maybe they said, oh Lord, increase our faith. That's not what they said. You know what they said? Jesus says, I say to forgive somebody 7 times a day. And they said, what? You're going to have to increase our faith. That's what they were saying. Are you with me? Hello, open eyes, open ears, listen carefully. The disciples were saying, what? You want me to do what? You want me to do how many times? No. Well, Master, you're just going to have to give us more faith because I don't think I can do that. That's what they were saying. Do you get it now? And then Jesus tells them, he said, not only do you need to forgive 7 times, but then Jesus, after they said, they responded and said, God, increase our faith. Are you kidding, Lord? Jesus then gives them an object lesson. Why? Because Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus knew what they needed, that they struggled to forgive, that they struggled to release their bitterness. And in response to their outcry, 7 times, who can do that? He spoke to them about a very specific tree. Now look at verse 6. Do you have your Bible open? Look at verse 6 again. Now some of you will have a version other than the King James, but I'm using the King James this morning because it literally quotes from the Greek. And I want you to understand that sometimes translations lose something if you don't go right to the Greek. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree. Now, how many of your Bibles have a version that says sycamine? S-Y-C-A-M-I-N-E. How many? Let me see your hands. You've got King James Version, probably, don't you? All right. How many of you have a version that says mulberry? Ah, why don't we talk about that and why there's a difference this morning? It says here, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, first of all, we're going to talk about the sycamine tree, and talking about it being plucked up by the root and planted in the sea. How many trees are going to survive being planted in the sea? Okay, there's a lesson there as well. We move forward with this. God's word says, sycamine tree from the Greek. Now, everyone in the Middle East knew the sycamore tree. And how many of you are familiar with the term sycamore tree in the Bible? Right? Okay. We're going to come to that again too. They also knew, not only were they familiar with the sycamore tree, but they knew there were two kinds of sycamore tree. Two kinds. They looked the same. They both grew a fig. And they looked almost identical. But there was a major difference between those two trees, between what they would call the mulberry sycamore and the sycamine sycamore. They looked the same, but they were very different. The sycamore, or the mulberry tree, had a very sweet fig, and it was delicious. The sycamine tree had a very bitter, nasty, horrible tasting fig, and it was bitter, 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 bitter. You ever had a green persimmon? Nothing on this fig, okay? So, anytime the Bible talks about people eating fruit from that tree, it was a mulberry fig, very sweet. If it was a different kind, and it says sycamine, it was that bitter fruit tree that we're talking about. So Jesus obviously pointed to the tree, and he said, this sycamine tree. Now let's look at the scripture again. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree. This sycamine. What was Jesus doing? Did he say, you might say to a sycamine tree, or you might say to a sycamore tree? Is that what he said? No, he said, this sycamine tree. In other words, what was Jesus doing? He was pointing to the tree as they walked by it. He was pointing to that tree, and he said, he used it as an illustration of their bitterness and of their unforgiveness, and he was saying, your unforgiveness is like this tree. It's bitter, it's nasty, it's ugly, and it's nothing anybody wants to digest. Just like the figs from this sycamine tree. And then he said, if you really want to be free of these destructive attitudes, this is what you need to do. He said, you can root it up, cast it into the sea. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But he's saying that you can speak to the menacing growth in your life, and you can command it to be planted in the sea, which means what? Kill it. Kill it. Get rid of it. Now, there's more to the sycamine / sycamore story. And to understand more about what Jesus is teaching, I'm going to take a step out of this, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that sycamine tree, because I think that it was a great illustration from our Lord, and you need to understand it. And because you did not grow up in the Middle East, you don't know about sycamore trees, except that somebody climbed up in one, right? You know that story. Now, we're going to look at what they knew, what the disciples knew about the sycamine tree. So the next thing is the lesson of the sycamore. We're going to go, guess what? back to verse 6. Are you ready? Follow along with me. Go with me. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now here's the thing about the sycamine tree. He did not say sycamore. He did not say mulberry. The exact version and the exact understanding is sycamine, which is a different tree than the mulberry. Like bitterness, the sycamine tree was difficult to kill. It was a hard tree to kill. I think it's a whole lot like a Texas yaupon, okay? Any of y'all ever try to get rid of the yaupon in your yard? Yeah. Very similar to the way that thing just pops up that way. It's a very large tree. As a matter of fact, you can crawl up in it. This is in Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, the group and I walked by a sycamore tree, and I crawled up in it. So, no, that is not Zacchaeus. That's your pastor. It's a large tree, big enough to hold me. It was a big tree. It was a stout tree. It had deep roots. And that's the thing. It's a large tree with a very deep root system. And the thing is that when you cut it down, you can cut it down right next to the ground. And it has such deep roots, and it is so hardy. You know what it does? Just like those yaupons, comes right back out. You cut it down, comes right back out. It's hard to kill. And it grows back fast. No wonder Jesus used it as an example of bitterness and unforgiveness. You know how we can cut it back, and if we're not real careful, guess what? That's a spiritual term, by the way. It means very fast, very quick. So we absolutely have to be careful to cut back the bitterness and to cut back the unforgiveness and keep it chopped down. Amen? We'll talk more about not just chopping, but tearing up the roots in a bit. Like the sycamine tree, bitterness and unforgiveness have got to be dealt with clear to the roots, not just cut off at the surface. And Jesus was telling them this when he used the sycamine as an illustration. If you don't, they'll just keep springing back again. It takes a serious decision to get rid of bitterness. It takes a serious decision to get rid of unforgiveness, and it sure took a serious decision to get rid of a sycamine tree. The second thing about a sycamine tree is that it was the preferred wood for building caskets. Now, how many caskets did they build in the Middle East? Not a whole lot, because they had very rocky ground. And most of the time, they buried people above ground in tombs. But when they did build a casket, they went to the sycamine tree. Why? Because it grew up in very dry places. Because it prospered in a place where there was no water, where there was little rain. And because it grew up, and because the figs that were on the sycamine were so awful, they did not mind cutting down a tree to use the wood. And so if a casket was built, it was built usually with the sycamine wood. Okay? Like bitterness, it grew quickly in a dry environment. And folks, I'm going to tell you that when they saw this tree, a lot of people, if they had ever seen a coffin, it reminded them of a funeral. Because the sycamine tree was the wood they used for the coffin. When we too are spiritually dry, when we don't have the rain of the Holy Spirit coming often into our life, we begin to dry up, and it'll remind God of a funeral for us because our spirit dies. There's no repentance. There's no joy. The bitterness will literally kill your joy, and it'll bury your peace. This and a simple illustration from Christ Jesus about the sycamine tree. The next thing we've already talked about, and that is that the sycamine tree produced a fig that was bitter and almost impossible to eat. The mulberry tree, very sweet. The sycamine tree, terrible. They looked almost the same. There were some subtle differences, but they looked almost the same. And eating the fruit of bitterness, dear people, will make us too bitter, sour people. I got to ask you, it's going to be folks my age and older. How many of you have ever eaten a green persimmon? Now, I don't see any young people. Any young people out there ever eaten a green persimmon? Do you remember the face that was made? And that's the fun thing. My dad walked out in the pasture at his mom and dad's house. He pulls off a persimmon and he cuts it in half, here, try this. And I said, no, you try it first. Well, dad put it in his mouth, I think he held it in his teeth. I put it in my mouth and you know the face I made. It's like giving a child their first lemon, right? When they're a baby. And we all take pictures. I wonder, friends, have you ever thought about the fact that when we have bitterness in our life and the sour and the bitter fruit of our life come back in the way we look at other people? You know people that look like that? They just look so inviting to talk to, right? Not. Eating the fruit of bitterness from the sycamine tree made your face pucker up. Well, folks, eating the fruit of bitterness in your life will do the same thing to your soul. It will make you a difficult person to want to be visited with. Which tree would you rather gather under? The one that brings the sweet fruit or the one that brings the sourness to life? It's the same with people. Do people gather around people that are sycamine? No. They like the mulberry people, right? Here's another one. The sycamine tree was pollinated only by wasps. Hello? The flowers were not pollinated by the pollen floating from flower to flower off of the tree, but the fruit itself was hard, and the fruit, in order for it to be pollinated, had to be stung all the way to the heart of that fruit by the stinger of a wasp that lived in or near the tree. The disciples knew this. They knew this. It wasn't naturally pollinated. Had to have that wasp sting it. Stuck its stinger right in the heart of the fruit. Bam! Does that tell you anything about bitterness and unforgiveness, friends? Isn't it true that you know people who are bitter and unforgiving? And not only are they stinging other people, but they expect other people to sting them too, don't they? They expect, oh, I don't trust people. I'm never going to forgive. They're just going to, you know. Not only are they that way, but they expect that everybody else is that way as well. Can I ask you this? Do you think that it was accidental that Jesus chose this tree to represent forgiveness, to represent losing your bitterness? Was it an accident? No. Folks, he wasn't talking about the mulberry tree. He was talking about the sycamine tree. Bitterness and unforgiveness bring so much hurt and pain. But we can be thankful that Jesus didn't leave them there. He didn't walk by and say, you know, y'all's bitterness is like this. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't leave us there? The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Oh, I love those transitions. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the conjunctions that take us to the Lord our God. We can be thankful that he didn't leave them there and to wallow in their bitterness and to wallow in their unforgiveness. But Jesus actually showed them a way out. That's where we go. Guess which verse we're going to turn to again? Verse 6. Look at verse 6 again with me. And the Lord said, if The Lord said what? If ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. The cure for bitterness and the cure for unforgiveness is found in a little faith. Jesus said, all it takes is a little faith. Have you ever wondered and said, God, how does my faith compare to other people? Have you ever wondered? You know, somebody says, you know, you need to be people of faith, right? Hello? Isn't that what God's people are? We trust that God is who God is, that His Son is who He is, that He did what He did, that He's gone to prepare us a place, that He's coming back to get us. That's faith. Do we have faith? Jesus said here, it just takes a little bit of faith. He said, in order to remove this nuisance, this horrible bitterness from your life, you have to have faith the size of a... Can you see that? Of course you can't. A mustard seed. Notice that he said, you must have faith the size of a what? A grain. A grain. Do you know how big a grain is? A grain was the Greek word kokos, and it described a seed or a grain of a very small kernel. And then he not only just said a grain, but he said a grain of what? Mustard. And the word he used there, the word that he used for mustard, was the small mustard plant that had the tiniest seed. It was literally so small. So he said a small seed, and then he said a minuscule seed. So we know what he's saying. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you just have to have teeny, weeny, tiny, little bit of faith. Just a little bit. A newborn baby's amount of faith, he's saying, to deal with bitterness and unforgiveness. Then the second thing we need to do is address the issue. Have a little faith. Then he said, then do something about it. Verse 6 again. He says, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, say something to the tree, say something to the bitterness, say something to the unforgiveness. Be thou plucked up by the root and replanted on the other side of my heart. Is that what it said? No. He said, be rooted up and cast into the sea where nothing can survive. He said, pluck it up, throw it out. He showed them the way out. We must address the issue. Do something about it. Say to this sycamine, say to this bitter tree that's got root in your life, get out and go somewhere you're going to die. Speak against it. Speak out against your own sin. Speak out against the bitterness. Any person. Wait a minute. Let's come back to this. How many persons? Which person? You? God's word says any person who has the teeniest little bitty bit of faith can speak to the bitterness and the unforgiveness and command it to be torn up out of your life, roots and all, and cast out to die. Well, that doesn't mean cut it off at the surface. That means what? Root it up. Get rid of the roots. If, and here we come back to that if, you can only do that if that is the desire of your heart. But there's the rub, so to speak. Most of the time, that's our problem, is it not? We don't speak against our unforgiveness. We don't speak against our bitterness because we don't want to give it up. We want to hold things against other people. The hard part of getting rid of the tree that has planted itself in our heart of bitterness and unforgiveness is not the amount of faith we have. It's the fact that we don't want to speak against it. Isn't that true? I think most of you here, if you had enough faith to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you certainly got enough faith to cast this bitterness tree out. The problem is not your faith. And that's what Jesus is saying. Oh, it's not that you have to have a whole lot of faith. You just got to have a tiny bit. What you've got to have is what? A desire to get rid of it. What's your desire? It's not the amount of faith. It's the want to. We just don't want to. Can I pray for you? Pray with me. Won't you just bow your heads with me? Would you enter a prayer closet? Be real still. And here, won't you agree with me in this? Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts about getting rid of bitterness. Amen? Thank you for speaking to our hearts about getting rid of unforgiveness and having a heart that takes offense. God, we know that these attitudes are killers. Amen? We do. God, we know that they kill our spiritual life. And that, Father, when we're filled with bitterness and we're filled with unforgiveness, we become a sour hostage to our unforgiving memories. God, when we're consumed with our own offense of others, we lose our joy. God, that bitterness kills. It wraps our heart up in a coffin of bitterness. We lose our peace. We lose our relationship of closeness with you, and we lose relationship with others, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us all the faith we need to get rid of this. Father, thank you that you give us the faith to deal with this issue. And we're asking you today to help us start the process of ripping those foul roots up out of our heart. And all God's people said, amen. Friends, I've got to tell you, God's word gives us the remedy if we'll listen. Would you remain in prayer for a moment? Can I ask you to do that? Would you just go back to prayer? Go back to prayer right now. And may I speak to your prayer need today? If you are having difficulty with a bitterness, if you're having trouble with unforgiveness, let me just ask you this. What is your desire today? What's your desire? Do you want to be free from the bitterness, or do you want to hang on to it? Do you have the faith of a mustard seed? You do. Do you want to be free from that unforgiveness that has festered up in your soul for so long? Are you ready to rip those destructive roots out right now to clear them out of your heart so that they won't be able to resurface again? Are you tired of the detrimental attitudes? Are you tired of it killing your joy, stealing your peace, killing your spiritual life? Is your family tired of it? Then, dear friends, have a little faith. Amen? I ask you, do you have a little faith? Can you believe that God can help you with this and address this issue? Then begin with this prayer. Friends, listen carefully. Begin with this prayer. Mean it from your heart. Are you ready? Would you pray to the Lord God and just say, God, I confess that I genuinely wish to be free from bitterness. God, I confess I want to be free of unforgiveness and free from an offense. Offensive heart. God, I am weary. I am weary of the way these poisonous roots have produced deadly fruit in my life. I'm ready to do whatever is required to get rid of those things, to rip up those roots, to clear them from my heart so that they won't be able to resurface again. Can you pray that prayer? Pray this. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and Father, by the authority that you have given me as your child, I repent of those detrimental attitudes. God, I am sorry that I've let them stay there so long. God, I am sorry. I repent that I've let it kill my joy, steal my peace, that I've let it nullify my spiritual life. And by faith, Lord God, I am walking free from these enemies of my soul. Amen? Right now, Father, I am going to walk free because I give them to you. Root them out. Cast them into the sea, Father. And thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom. And all God's people said, amen.